我落石身上寂寞。Let's bow our heads once again for prayer. Our Father, we are grateful to you for this privilege you have given to us again to be in your house. We thank you for the week that ended, your blessings upon us, your protection, favor, and mercies we receive. Thank you for the services and the blessings they've been to us. We are grateful to you. Lord Jesus, as we leave ourselves in your hands this morning, we pray that your grace will stand for us. Lord, may our sins, failures, shortcomings, and mistakes come under your blood. We pray, Father, you send help from above unto both the speakers and the hearers today. The Lord will be made far better than we are before coming to church. Those on their way coming, quicken their pace, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's quickly turn our book to the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things said he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. Welcome ourselves to the Sunday school. Maybe it will be the expectation of many that since our Sunday school teacher this morning that we stand to teach. He needed some rest. He's been on some very stressful activities for the past couple of weeks. And this body not be stoned. God bless you. Yeah, for this Sunday school, I will want to resume back to the Seven Church Age book. The last time we spoke on it, we spoke about the Pergamos city itself, and then the age, bracket, the dates the prophet put, and also the messenger. And this morning we are beginning with the salutation. Now, in entering this salutation, I want us to note something which we can use natural to compare the spiritual. When you hear that somebody said, the attention that you are going to give to the message that the person said is depending on who is that person that sent the message. Yoruba people said and added that the person that sent you is the one you fear, not the one to whom you will deliver the message. The personality of the person speaking matters. Like today, you know, carry the newspaper or they are bringing the news, you will see president said, this one said, that one said. They are human beings. You may also know as much grammar as they do. But if you just stand somewhere with microphone, which you can even go to any of the broadcasting house with a little money, say you want to broadcast and you broadcast. The attention that will be given to what you are broadcasting, it will be dependent on your personality. Like the academic people believe that as long as you are still a minister, you don't have a title yet. That is, your words are not relevant until you have something attached to your name from what a brother just got, a doctor. Then if you say doctor so-so, professor so-so, then somebody is talking. But when they minister so-so, I believe that one. So now, if you look at the ages, before the message itself is released, the first thing you are going to hear is that to the messenger of the age, this is the things that so-so person said. And for a little review on that, if you look at, God Abraham also is still going to make use of it. If you look at the Ephesian church age, he said, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this is said he, that's the person that is talking now, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And that type of title, there is no human being that can bear it. There is no human being that can have the seven stars in his right hand. There is no human being that can be walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. It's symbolic, which the interpretation was given right in the scripture, that those are the seven churches. And if you go to the second church age, the age of Smyrna, which is Revelation 2 verse 8, he said, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, this is seeth the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So when the messenger hear that, he know who is talking. That the person that is talking to him is the first and the last. And there is no human being on earth that is first and last. So when you hear the one talking, even in the scriptures, the people that are, I don't know how to describe them, who say that does not fear God. When they see here, and they know the source that God is speaking, they used to humble themselves. Let me give you three examples. When Pharaoh, who has been a great terror in Egypt, when one day he had a dream that scared him, and he was looking for the interpretation because he's convinced that there is something about this. It looked as if the creator of heaven and earth is trying to pass a message. And by the time he descended, this is Pharaoh before that has said that, you know, Pharaoh does not, well, it was after this actually that he made that statement that does not know the Lord. But this same Pharaoh, this very time, when he could not get interpretation of his dream, and somebody finally said that there is somebody in the prison, and they brought Joseph. And when Joseph came, and he told him that, I understand you can interpret dreams, this and that, he said, it is only God. It is only God. So Pharaoh had it in his palace that it is God that have interpretation to dreams. It's God that knows the future. And he said that the thing that is about to happen is what God is trying to make known to Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said, If it is God, leave the matter, things will take care of itself. They did you like that? He went to work immediately. He took the advice of Joseph and put everything in place because he is convinced that it is the creator of heaven and earth that has spoken. If you come to Nebuchadnezzar's time, who you know the way of his life here and there, but when the divine word of the Almighty God came down, it was a different thing. Bethesda, the same thing. Of course, some of them, it's because God did not want them to actually, he didn't want them to repent or to change. So he will add in their heart, just as he did Pharaoh when the plague started. You know, a time came that Pharaoh himself was convinced that this is God on the scene. A time came that he was repenting of his sins. A time came that he was trying to make restitutions. I mean, asking for mercy from, say, pray for me, and so on and so forth. But because God was adding his heart, that's why he continued. If not God adding his heart, he would have given up long time. Because there are things God wants to accomplish completely in that place. And look at Ahab. Abraham described him as the wickedest of all the kings. When Elijah came to meet him in the vineyard of Naboth and said, you have killed and you are possessed, this is the word of the Lord. The Bible said that he bowed his head and he walked softly, tore his dress, display humility until God himself saw and called his servant. I said, look at Ahab. See how he walked softly before me. Because of this momentous repentance and humility, the things I've said now, I will bring them to pass in his days. I will shift them to the days of his son. Why? Because at least he was able to know that when God of heaven speaks, you don't joke with his word. And that is why the introduction to every age comes like that. When the word is going to the messenger is to know that this is not word of your brothers talking. This is not an angel speaking. This is not a professor or whatsoever or a king talking. This is the creator of heaven and earth. So the language that God will bring forth will convince the messenger that this is the Almighty God speaking. So that messenger will go with that boldness to deliver the message to that age. Who wants to take it? Take it. Who doesn't want to take it? The one that have the sharp sword with two edges. And you know what sword can do. So it's a revealing himself to a particular age and Godhead. Now let us read. Now there are plenty scriptures in this session. Abraham referred to up to like 25 thereabouts, which as we are going will be. Voice. And the spirit presents the matchless one. You know, when John had the voice, he said it was like the sound of a trumpet. So the prophet is saying the matchless one. He which had the sharp sword with the two edges. How vastly different is this presentation from the time when Pilate introduced the Lamb of God, clothed in mocking robes of purple, because he doesn't have revelation, smitten and tongue crowned, saying, "Behold your king." You know, when he wrote it there and said, "This is the king of the Jews," the Jews went to meet him and said, "Don't write it there that he is the king of the Jews. You say that he said, the king of the Jews." Look, Pilate said, "As for what I have written, I have written. I don't have time for amendments. What I wrote under inspiration, and it is written, and it is true. He is sitting on a throne because he's a governor, and some anointing has to be upon him to make pronouncements and to do things that will be in conformation with the scriptures. He's not only the king of the Jews, he's the king of the entire earth. But at least to that beat, because he came to the Jews at that time and he was dealing with the Jews. So he wrote it there that this is the king of the Jews. The people caught it that this man too is still dancing to the same tune. This is somebody we brought to you that is making mouth, that is making himself God. And you yourself, you are still writing here now that is the king of the Jews. What are you saying? You are still saying the same thing almost as him said the man too is claiming. Look, Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." Amen. Now, regard. He was having a rose of purple, which was for mockery, smitten and crowned with thorn crown, presented to the people as their king. But now, this time that John is speaking, he said, the prophet said, now is regal robed and crowned with glory. He stands as the risen Lord, Christ, the power of God. Amen. Whether this world like, whether they don't like, that is the king. That is the Lord. That is the creator. That is the judge. That is the mediator. That is the Alpha and the Omega. That is the beginning and the end. That is the rose of Sharon. That is the lily of the valley. Whether the world like it or not, he will reign. Isaiah have already prophesied far back thousands of years ago. He said, of his grave, there will be no end. Amen. In these words, he which had the sharp sword with two edges lies another revelation of Godhead. In the Ephesian age, you will recall he was set for as the unchanging God. In the Smyrna age, we saw him as the one true God, and beside him, there is no other one. Now, in this Pergamon age, there is a further revelation of his Godhead, set forth by his association with the sharp two-edged sword, which is the word of God. So the prophet is going to look at today the Godhead from the angle of him being the word, and that the sharp sword, which is the word, is going to look through the scriptures and then link it up with the evidence of the Holy Spirit indwelling in a man or a woman, and then that is the person talking in an age. May the Lord be our help. Right. Now the prophet said, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Now, two-edged sword. Now, we just read about sword. And Hebrews 4:12 is saying that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. Which means that there is physical sword and there is spiritual sword. Sword in the physical that is sharp like this one, every human being move away. When you see somebody with two edges, even the one with one edge self, you see move back. Not to talk of the one that have two edges now. Brandishing. And you know it's not playing with it. May the Lord be gracious. People that encounter these armed robbers sometimes and see the way they operate, when you hear robbers, you will pee in your pants. This is people that we, when they stop a vehicle in the night, and people used to think that they are here for play, they will sample it on somebody's leg. Start at the leg. In all the years we travel to the east, and I travel several years, I can't even count the number of times in the night, going and coming. I told the people we work together, they just shall live by faith. For once, I never meet them, and it is on daily basis they are on the road that time. Sometimes when I reach Jebode, I will see vehicles coming with people with blood on them. Is it between Owerri and whatsoever? Even when I drive on my own, not once do I ever meet them. Before I get there, must move, or they come after I have come. It is individual faith. Yes, whatever you believe will work for you. They just shall live by faith. Because we have some of our people that have met them, so they have to prostrate, surrender what they have, and soon let's leave that one. May God be our help. Now the prophet said, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a designer of the thoughts and intents. That is the word of God. It described like that as being quick, as being powerful, and is sharper than any to any. Which means that there is no sword on earth that can be compared to this sword. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Which means that there is nothing secret
that this word cannot bring out. There is nothing hidden that it cannot bring out. Because, and when that was displayed in the ministry of the prophet, Abraham will say that you can no longer hide your life now, even if you want to. You want to hide, just run away from that place. That's the only way. But as for you are in his presence there, and you want to, it is where everything is clear. Both what to do at home, both what to do on the road, the reason why you are here, what you have done in your past, up to as many as when you are a little child, everything is going to be made open. If there is anything dark, perhaps that you are aware of as a person, Abraham said that many people, even from the prayer line, when they see the way the thing is working, they will leave the prayer line and go and make things right before they come back there. Because if not, this is where microphone is going to blow into the entire world. And the prophet said that anything like that, that people step out to go and make it like that, he said, by the time he get there, even though he will know, but he will just see that that thing is already under the blood, he said, it's never mentioned again. But as long as it is not under the blood yet, he's going to blow it here. The only antidote is that don't near him. Our people say that, don't splash water on me, then you don't go to the river. And that is the message of the hour. And that is why our church is not too full. People that have come here, come to church, and look, even if we bring this church to expand it to the power line, full power line there, it won't contain people that have been here. But it's not everybody that have the configuration, the composition, to be able to stay before this world. Because it's sharper than two-edged sword. It appears even to the dividing and sunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and the intent, in your intention, your thought and your intention, he bring it out. Now, the preaching of God's word at this level also does that. I just discussed something with a brother, gave him an advice recently, and was telling me what he was going to do. And then the minister was preaching just, I think that day, or second day or whatsoever, was preaching. I made a direct statement that if you are thinking this one, don't do it. Direct. I look at the brother where he was. So when we close, I met him. I said, did you tell Kenny? He said, no. I said, then the message is clear. Isn't it? He said, it's clear. Because it's direct. That is this message of the hour. This is not a place of storytelling. It's a place that a man with the gift of God enter into an anointing. And God borrows his vessel and anywhere he wishes. He's pray like this. Sometimes, the thing will hit himself talking that when he preach finish, he will say, these things that I have said, he will pray. That even Brother Abraham himself, sometimes, will lift up his hand. He say, I raise my own also. One time, he even came to the altar to let you know that this word doesn't respect anybody. It doesn't respect the person saying it. It doesn't respect nothing. He only exalts God and God alone. Every human being, they are subject to this word. Amen.
Alright.
Alright. Ephesians 6 verse 17. He said, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is Brother Paul talking to the Ephesians. He said, take the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In other words, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So this sword that we read about, that is sharp with two edges, is the sword of the Spirit, and it is the word of God. Amen. And when we all know, let's just be going, we will see where the thing ends. I wouldn't know because we are going too slow the way I thought. Because I've not even finished half a page. And obviously this session is about 8.5 pages. So if I cannot finish half a page for the Sunday school, I wonder how many pages I cover for the main service, which is just about 3 times of the Sunday school. But whatever it is, the Lord will be our help. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 and verse 15a. He has this to say. And he was clothed with a vesture deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. Now the prophet is bringing all these scriptures to let us know the one that is speaking to the brethren or to the messenger of this Pergamon church age. Because he says this is the things that he which had the sharp sword with two edges said. Right. Then in John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, he said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same word in bracket was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, as we are reading this, denominations are also reading it, but it's not clear. It's not clear. They also read the same thing we are reading. If not the mercy of God, how we have come in contact with this? How we have gotten this understanding? How we have known this? And it is only the person that have the revelation of this word now that cannot take the instruction serious. That is why the introduction in every age is given to know who is speaking before instructions are released. When you know the one that is speaking, that this is not pastor here, this is not an evangelist here, this is not a teacher, this is not a prophet, but this is God himself speaking. When you have that revelation that this is God that told me to do like this. Like a girl, some years back, I read it in the paper, on the internet, in Ogun State, NYC camp. She was the camp because of trousers. She's not a message believer because I read the story to follow it. She wasn't a message believer. And they sent her out of the camp in the night. And the church tried to pick up the matter whatsoever. Now, what I'm bringing out is that when they confront her, why are you so adamant? Why are you rigid about this? Something you are going to wear and remove. Does it stick on your skin? What is it all about? She said that when I was the age of 10, I was told something told me not to wear trousers. And later I read it in the Bible, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, that a woman should not put on a garment that belongs unto a man, and a man should not put on a garment that belongs to a woman. See, I read it. God spoke to her, and the word confirmed it. Even though they did not see it, even though they refused, they were adamant, but she has made a point. I bet you, that type of a girl, if she eventually did not come to the message of the hour, that's among the foolish virgins, she will be in heaven anyhow. She didn't come to the message, she will not go in the rapture. She won't be in the millennium. She will be among the rest of the dead. But thereafter, that when she's going to be that eternal life at the white throne judgment. Because she took her stand with the word of God. She was not ashamed. When they ridicule her, she took her stand. When they make jest of her, she took her stand. Somebody was singled out of thousands and tried to be disgraced. But she counted God's word higher than any human being. She didn't see any disgrace at all. She didn't feel rubbed on or step upon or whatsoever. She was rather rejoicing that she's doing the will of God. It is only the person now that have the revelation of who is speaking that can do that. But when you don't know who is speaking, when you are between two opinions, whether it is pastor that has spoken, a pastor will come to an end. If it's an apostle, will come to an end. A teacher will come to an end. Evangelist will come to an end. Any preacher will come to an end. But God remains forever. When you catch that revelation that is the creator of heaven and earth, that has spoken this thing and this is his own demand, that is the only thing that will give you the confidence, the strength, and the grace that will be added, the anointing will drop upon to be able to do what is inside this world, to carry it out as an instruction. May God be gracious to us. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 7, he said, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You know, in that scripture, he gives the other something of the three that bear record on earth that agree in one. But the words that were used were different from what was used in the Lemonade area, verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and water and the blood. And these three agree in one. When a woman is to give birth, water will come out first, is that not? Blood will follow, is that not? Then the Spirit will follow, which is life. They all agree in one. But, and the prophet also used that one too for justification, sanctification, and Holy Ghost baptism. But in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, he said all of them are one. If you look at those things, you find out that there is only one substance that binds all of them together, is the Word. Because the Father is Spirit, the Holy Ghost is Spirit, the Word is the substance. You are looking at me to get more understanding as we come later. May the Lord be our help. Brother Abraham told us, Jesus talked about his own Father living inside of him. Is that correct? And the Bible said that God is a Spirit, which means that the Father of Jesus is what? Is the Spirit. And then he also said that this Holy Ghost, I have to go because presently is in me now. I will have to come and send him back to you. So, Brother Abraham said, if the Holy Ghost is different from God the Father, it means that Jesus has two fathers. But both of them is Spirit. It's just the changing of title for dispensations. The Father is the eternal Spirit. And the Holy Ghost is the title that God was now bearing in the seven church ages. It's operating in the office of the Holy Spirit that is filling the people. It is the same God. Amen. So God helping us. I think the bell is already ringing. Let me now just go for that. When we come back in the main service, We'll see how far that we can go. At least we are able to take two paragraphs for this Sunday school. And if it is three we take in the next service, we try. Shall we bow our eyes? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much this hour. Lord, because thou art God, you change it not. We want to bless your holy name, O Father, for this portion of your word that we have traveled through. Understanding coming from you and revelation coming from you. We want to ask, O God, that we plant this word deep in our hearts. Water it by your spirit. Quicken it unto every heart, O Father. May none of us be a hearer alone and not a doer. We pray that you give us each person this as a practical experience that we might know where we are standing. Grant it, Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that when we come further in this service, you enlighten our eyes and more. You give unto us, O God, more understanding and more revelation. Grant it, Eternal Father. Bless this word, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.